always a lot of noise when you're 3-10. I understand that. Every organization has it. There's going to be a lot more noise over the next 3 weeks. I understand that. But I got one mindset right now, and that's focusing on Atlanta. We're going against a football team that was 13-3 last year. They're 3-10 as well, as I share with our football team. I go, they know that they're going to get my best shot over the next three games, and I'm hoping I get their best shot over the next three games.
Well, folks, that is the voice of Mike Shanahan, which we don't expect to hear very much for much longer. Rob Woodfork here with George Wallace, who actually called a heck of a game the other day. George Washington and Maryland. Really good finish there.
Thank
Hell
you.
Of a call there at the end.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
He's a man of all sports.
Exciting finish.
Yeah. And then...
I didn't get to witness the debacle in person. Got to watch it afterwards, but...
There you go. At least you got that nice adrenaline rush, because then all of it got tossed aside once you had to see the tape of the Redskins' 35-point drubbing at home at the hands of the Chiefs. And, you know, I said this on air a couple of times on Sunday. Pretty much this is the death march of the 2013 Redskins. This is pretty much over.
Oh, it's over. It's
thus
over.
The opening song, by the way.
Yeah.
How I pulled that.
That was beautiful. It was perfect.
We may or may not run that to begin every podcast the rest of the year. Because apropos.
Right. But just when you think things can't get any worse for this team, they do. And that's what happened with the report before the game about Shanahan cleaning out his office and the relationship between Snyder and Griffin, which we've known is really tight, but that upsets the head coach. And then he goes out there and says he's talking about benching Robert Griffin III, the face of the franchise, because he wants to preserve his health, when in fact a couple weeks ago he says that it's very important for Griffin to take all the reps possible to keep coming back from that injury. And we've said that on this very podcast a number of times. Now all of a sudden, going up against a 3-10 team in a dome is all of a sudden going to be a bad thing. Well, you know, how about in the snow against, you know.
Against one of the top defenses in the league.
So, you know, that to me is saying, here you go, Dan Snyder. I'm my way out the door. This is for you.
Yeah. This is for you, and it's a choice finger somewhere towards the middle of the hand. But
yeah. There's two big egos involved in this.
Yes.
And that's exactly what's going on.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you now, this I don't know where the Redskins go from here, because breaking down this game is moot, because nobody was talking about the game afterwards. And
nobody was in the stands either.
Did you see the cutaway?
Oh, I saw
the cutaway coming out of halftime.
Uh-huh.
All it was seats.
Yep.
That was it.
That was a high school crowd.
Oh, my God, yes. And it should have been, because that was a high school performance.
Yes.
So I don't know where they go from here. I mean, they may get one, maybe two games down the stretch, only because the teams that they're playing, two out of the three, are equally as bad as they are.
Yeah, Dallas will be playing for possibly the division at FedEx Field, and the place is going to be full of Cowboys fans, and that's going to irritate Snyder even more.
Right. And actually, ironically, the way I see it playing out, I think they'll lose to the Falcons. I think they'll beat the Cowboys, and then they'll lose to the Giants.
Sure,
the two teams that they, on paper, probably should beat.
Right.
That's just the nature of this season and the way the Redskins have been recently. But I don't know where the team goes from here, because they've gone down the path of the experienced coach. They've gone the retread route. They've gone the assistant nobody knows. They've gone to the old legend. They've gone to the college coach. They've done all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they go from here.
No idea. I have no idea either.
And I don't think Snyder knows. And the last time they didn't know where to go from there, that's why Jim Zorn came into our lives.
So. Because nobody else wanted the job. And when Jim Fossil was leaked out, was going to take the job, the entire D.C. area went nuts.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they go from here either. I'd love to see a hot young coordinator. I don't know who that is. Surround him with a nice staff, a veteran support staff. But I don't know what that is. Do you hire a general manager other than Bruce Allen and have him pick a coach? Hey, that's something new.
Yeah.
He hasn't tried that yet.
I got to tell you, here's one hypothesis that is very, very interesting. And our buddy, Kevin Sheehan, said this on Monday. A lot of people forget A.J. Smith is in the organization.
Yes.
The former Chargers GM.
Yes.
So Shanahan goes bye-bye. Kyle will probably go with.
Mm-hmm.
You said they're probably not going to make a move in season, so the whole interim coach thing is...
I don't think so. I just think that if it were going to happen, it would have happened Monday.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, like you heard some people talking, you know, that the report yesterday kind of took Snyder by surprise.
Yeah.
He's willing to wait to do this at the end of the season, I think, fine.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden this comes out and he's not ready to do it. There's so many financial things they have to work out.
And the timing of it. I mean, right. It's almost as if Shanahan put it out there himself.
Oh, of course he did.
Before hours before a game?
Absolutely.
Doesn't make any sense.
I would not put it past anybody. Yeah. Too many things in these last couple stories are too specific for him not to have had a part in it.
Yes.
That is my theory on that.
And then the misdirection of not having Schefter be the one to leak
because
Schefter leaks it, then it's almost like announcing that,
correct,
hey, it's me.
Right. And then now he's saying that he apologized to the team, but there are going to be other distractions the next 3 weeks. Well, what are you going to come up with?
Yeah.
So that's why I don't think it's going to happen in season. I mean, he's definitely devising his exit plan, his exit strategy.
Sure.
He's telling Snyder, fire me. Here's what I'm doing to your squad. But if you're Snyder, I don't know how you can have him coach the last 2 weeks. He gets up to the podium, you're going to see very awkward press conferences like you saw today for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And you give him the forum to get out there and say whatever he wants about your team.
And it kills any hope of you being able to fire him with cause, which has been sort of the talk that they may try and go that route.
What's now, the A.J. Smith room? Go
the
on.
A.J. Smith. Here's the scenario. A.J. Smith promoted to general manager. I don't know what the direct tie is to Lovie Smith, but Lovie Smith is out there, and that's a name that's getting hot. And because of the success of Andy Reid in Kansas City, Lovie Smith, he's already...
That's the least of the sexy names out there.
But, I mean, Gruden is saying, and we've talked at length about the possibility of Gruden coming here because of just connecting all the dots, but Gruden is saying he's staying at least through 2014.
Which I think could change at any time. Yes,
exactly, which is subject to change. We know that. But you have the possibility of bringing in Lovie Smith. That would be a huge olive branch to the fan base just by virtue of him being a minority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have minority coach, minority quarterback, for whatever that's worth. That would be a good hire because he does have a winning record.
Sure.
He's 18 games over 500 for his career.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a good hire. And then Terry Shea, who was...
Yes.
Who was Griffin's sort of, I don't
mentor
want to say coach,
kind of thing,
but he coached him up during...
Who Griffin listens to.
Griffin, which is apparently not a very long list.
Right.
But Terry Shea, who has ties to Griffin, used to be an offensive coordinator for Lovie Smith.
Yes.
So you bring him in to be your offensive coordinator. Mind you, he hasn't been a coordinator in... close to 10 years.
Right.
But you bring Lovie Smith. He's got a defensive background.
Guy, yeah.
You change around your defense. That creates the possibility that you have some level of sort of keeping this thing together somewhat because you bring in, you don't have to bring in anybody outside because Raheem Morris has ties to that whole Tampa 2 style of defense. So there's your continuity right there with the change that you need.
That,
I don't know how. I mean, you obviously a lot of balls would have to fall directly into place for that to play out. But you know, if Gruden doesn't come out of retirement, if you know you can't bring Art Briles in, which I'm not sure is a good idea anyway.
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
They're running out of options.
Right. Well, that's the thing.
And if I'm Lovie Smith, I don't want any parts of what's happening here.
And I don't know who the hot young coordinator is. I haven't done enough research on that yet.
Yeah.
You don't know if there is a hot young coordinator that you bring in, whether it's an offensive guy, and then you bring in, a Wade Phillips, as a defensive coordinator or something like that. But there are going to be a lot of questions that still need to be answered, and, we'll try and do our best.
Well, the thing is, and this is what I'm writing about in the recap this week, the common thread here is Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
You can swap out Shanahan for...
Anybody.
Anybody. But is it going to matter?
No.
Because Shanahan won 2 Super Bowls. And we can talk about all day and night whether or not he could do it with or without John Elway. But the fact of the matter is he's a multiple-time Super Bowl winner. And he couldn't have success here.
Yeah.
Joe Gibbs, a multiple times Super Bowl winner, didn't have any success
and
here.
Keep in mind, Shanahan got what he wanted. He got the bubble.
Yep.
Training camp moved to Richmond.
Yep.
Upgrades at Redskins Park.
Yep.
You got a receiver in Pierre Garçon.
Yep.
So he got some of those things that Snyder was able to do. But then in the end, somehow, Dan Snyder always comes in and cuts the feet out from under you.
And being buddies with the players, that's never, ever a good idea.
No.
That's never
but
a good
you
idea.
You can do it, but you can't flaunt it.
Right.
Owners, I'm sure, are buddies with their with star players. Sure.
Yeah.
But you can't flaunt it.
Yeah.
And that's what this one doesn't get.
Yeah. Well, there will be much more of this.
Get us all fired up now. Thank you.
We didn't even talk about
football. Oh, yeah,
football.
They lost to the Chiefs 45-10.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about football.
Special teams was awful, defense was awful, and offense was awful.
But that's the thing. That's what these podcasts are going to be from here on out.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's
going
to care about the football.
No.
The football's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
The drama is going to be sort of the forefront,
yeah.
And, I mean, that's what it's going to be.
But
and
that's
he
what
alluded
we're used
to in the press conference Monday that there's going to be more stuff that comes out.
Yeah. We're not done.
What?
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, fellas, if you were trying to get your wives into football, this is how you do it. You present it to them as a soap opera, and that's what we're doing. Rob Woodfork, signing off.
We do our best.
Alongside George Wallace, we'll be back Friday if we don't get tired of talking about
Maybe.
These guys between then. All right, guys. Don't forget to check out the NFL Recap every Tuesday. We'll be back Friday. Have a good week, or at least try.